Grand West Side Show on ESPN 630, presented by Flight by Yuengling. Raise the bar with the next generation of light beer. Maryland's football schedule is out. You want to hear it?
Sure.
Don't sound too excited about it. Let's see. Versus Buffalo. Oh, the Jarrett Patterson Bowl. Okay. At home and the opener September 3rd. At Charlotte.
Okay.
Oh, God. How'd that happen?
Can you hear how pumped I am?
At Charlotte. SMU here, playa. Okay. September 17th. Then comes Doomsday at Michigan. Let's see if Jim Harbaugh is going to be the coach there. Versus Michigan State here. Purdue at home. At Indiana. Northwestern at home. Oh, God. At Wisconsin. At Penn State. Back to back.
There's the sideways part of the season that comes out.
Madison. Madison, Happy Valley. Back to back. Good luck with that.
Yep.
Then they get Ohio State here. Ha ha. And they end with Rutgers. So let's see. Let me see if I got it right already. Beat Buffalo, beat Charlotte, lose to SMU.
Yep.
Better win at Indiana or Northwestern. 3-4 Rutgers is the finale. Oh, be tough to make a bowl game on that one if they lose that SMU game. It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Got to harvest those nuts if you're locked over there, baby. Harvest those nuts.
Good luck with that.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite writers is this guy, Jay Busby. I think he's actually very funny in print for Yahoo Sports, who ranked all of the possible Super Bowl matchups this year. There are 49 of them. Mm-hmm. So he ranked them in order of wanting to see them.
Okay.
This is what he said. 49 for him is Raiders 49ers. Two former Bay Area colleagues reuniting would be about as much fun as watching two high school friends get together after 20 years and realize in 10 minutes they have nothing in common anymore. Good line.
Yeah.
He's got 48 Steelers v. Eagles. So this would, everybody in Pennsylvania would lose their mind, but everybody else in the rest of the country would be like, oh, God.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, he's
spot on. That's like, nobody cares about that. Like, oh, God.
Yep.
47, Titans 49ers. She said, this would be the Super Bowl you watch for the commercials. Let's see. 46, Raiders v. Eagles, which would be a rematch of Super Bowl 15. The Raiders won. 45, Steelers-Niners. I don't know. That feels like a legacy game to me. Steelers-Niners. Anybody said this? The Ben Roethlisberger tributes takedowns would accompany any Pittsburgh Super Bowl appearance, and it would be suffocating, is what he said.
It's true. No, he's absolutely right. 2 weeks of that story, I'm already thinking about how terrible that's going to be.
44, Bills-Eagles. He said, if nothing else, the Bills would halt that four straight losses thing. That's pretty good. Oh, I think this should be lower. 43, Bengals-Cardinals. You know, it's funny. Football fans would be like, that's going to be amazing. Burrow and Murray, like, that's going to be amazing. Yeah, yeah. And the country would be like, Bengals-Cardinals? Oh, Lord. Like, it does not have the panache that it should, actually.
It is.
I bet that game would be amazing, actually.
No, I was going to say it's not sexy to anyone that actually follows it. It's not sexy to anyone else besides those that follow the sport. Yes, correct.
42 Steelers Cardinals.
Rematch.
Yeah.
Rematch.
41 Titans Eagles. Oh, God, that would be terrible.
That'd be
Titans
terrible.
Eagles.
Yeah.
We've got 40 Bengals 49ers, which would be a rematch of two previous Super Bowls. And he said it'd be awesome if Joe Montana or Steve Young could suit up for San Francisco in that one.
Pretty good.
Bengals would probably be a favorite in that game, actually, if
wouldn't
that happened.
So, yeah.
39, Patriots-Cardinals. Oh, God, I agree. I can't have Belichick in the Super Bowl, by the way. Again, this early with a rookie quarterback, I can't have that right now. Let's see, 38, Bills-Niners.
Can we rewind for just a sec? If Cliffy got it done against him, everyone would shut up.
That's true.
I would just say that.
That's true.
That's a fun coaching matchup, but I don't think he would.
That'd I got this feeling like Belichick will find a way to shut down Kyler Murray, and it'd be so annoying. Like,
that's
it'd be
true.
Like, oh,
yeah,
my God.
One good part of the game.
Kyler Murray goes 7 for 32, and you're like, oh, man.
Rushes
you're like,
18 times.
Now he ruined that guy? You're like, oh, awesome.
Rushes 18 times for 38 yards. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And like three passes land 10 yards away from where he thought receivers were going to be, like that type of stuff. You're like, oh my God. Yeah. He ruined that guy now. 38 Bills Niners, 37 Bengals Eagles. He wrote, remember when the Philadelphia police greased light poles so that celebrating Eagles fans wouldn't climb them? That's the mark of a good fan base right there. This might be the only AFC team that the Eagles could beat and might.
Oh, shots fired there.
I mean, the Eagles are the weakest team in the playoffs of the group that got in. They're the weakest team in the playoffs.
It's funny. They are the weakest, but they're still the team that can run the ball. So they're always going to be considered dangerous. Like, some of the takes coming out against them against the Buccaneers are a little ridiculous, but I also see where everyone's coming from.
I don't know how much Tampa's going to score because their offense is so messed up.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think Philadelphia is going to score a lot of points this weekend. And I don't think they're going to run the ball the way they're accustomed to running ball at all. It's hard to bet against Brady in this, but I bet they only score in the low 20s, Tampa Bay, that they don't actually score a lot of points here. So I'm not really calling for a blowout. I just don't see Philadelphia winning because nobody runs on Tampa. And they can't throw the ball. So, and go look at their record against good teams and their record against bad teams. And you'll see what the truth is about Philadelphia this year. They're like we were last year. Like, we were in the playoffs with a, you know, average to below average record. And look at the teams we beat and look at the teams we lost to. that's Philadelphia this year.
Right.
Let's see. 36, he's got Steelers, Rams. 35 Pats, Eagles. I would like to see Belichick beat Philadelphia in the Super Bowl 62-0. I might enjoy that, actually. After losing to them with the Philly special thing, I might actually enjoy that a little bit.
Doubt it would.
Is that the biggest upset ever? Nick Foles over Tom Brady in the Super Bowl?
Giants has got to be up there too, though.
That's Eli, though.
I know.
That's Eli Manning. Eli Manning
Still,
is.
They were a six seed.
I think Eli Manning's a Hall of Fame. I know people argue it that he's not, but I think he is.
That was Hall of Fame a six seed, though. Like, no one really gave him a shot right. The first time around. Second time around, everyone saw it coming. But I think
Nick
it's got to be up there.
Beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. I think that's up there.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably bigger than the Giants because the Giants' defense was elite that year. So.
We've had a lot of average quarterbacks make the Super Bowl. 99% of the time, they lose. Rex Grossman played in the Super Bowl.
Right. No, that's true.
They lose.
Yeah, right. No, that's true.
Let's see. He's got Raiders Cardinals at 34. I don't know. That actually would be fun, and I'd rather them just move the Super Bowl to Vegas at that point and play the game there. It'd be fun.
Be pretty good.
33, Chiefs Eagles. He's basically saying that the Chiefs would beat them 8 million to nothing. 32, Bills Cardinals. The ball might never touch the ground between these two aerial teams. That might be fun. 31 Steelers Buccaneers. Yeah, I think that'd be a blowout, actually. I don't think that would go well. 30 Chiefs 49ers, rematch of the Super Bowl a couple years ago. I don't think San Francisco has the same team they did a couple years ago. At least they don't play like they did. 29 Raiders Rams, another battle of ex-neighbors. In theory, the Rams should run away with this, but we've seen as recently as Sunday night, the Raiders always seem to stay close enough to keep things interesting. I agree. I think the Raiders are dangerous this weekend. Not necessarily picking them to beat Cincinnati, but it would not surprise me in the slightest bit if they somehow pull that off this weekend. 28 Titans Cardinals. I do not want to see that game. 27 Bengals Rams. It says could be the first
scoring.
Super. Yes, it could be the first Super Bowl where the teams combined for 2,000 yards of passing offense.
Yeah, that'd be nuts.
Yeah, I'm after these last few weeks, I'm kind of buying Burrow as he's going to be a problem in this league for a long time.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yes. They got a good one in him. They got a good one.
Yes.
He ain't Mahomes, but he looks like he has it.
Yes, correct.
I think Herbert does too, but the way they ended their season wasn't pretty. He's got all the swagger to go along with all of it. He looks like he's got
Herbert,
it.
Herbert is letting the coaching affect him. Burrow's winning in spite of it. That's how I look at the Bengals.
I loved Burrow the other day with the, I know Jamar's down there somewhere.
Yes, exactly.
I love that. Like, yep. I love some of the, like, I made the right decision to throw it there because I like my guy over their guy
that's
all day.
100%.
Basically.
Absolutely. Yep.
Let's see. 26, they got Chiefs Cardinals. Ooh, I don't know. They call this the Cliff Kingsbury Bowl. How well would the Cardinals coach fare against his one-time protege? Probably almost like everyone else has.
Yeah, right.
That's good. Titans Rams 25 would be a rematch of that Super Bowl that fell 1 yard short for right. Tennessee.
Kevin Dyson, yes.
Mm-hmm. 24 Raiders Packers. I agree. I don't want to see that. Although it would, they should shoot that in black and white because it would look like NFL films.
Yeah,
if
classic,
they had a Raiders
yeah.
Packers Super Bowl. 23 Patriots Rams. I don't know if I'm against that. McVay v. Belichick. I kind of like that one. And Patriots Rams. That's Spygate, right?
Yeah. Well,
is it that Spygate? Patriots Rams. Was it at Rams? Mike Martz, right?
Wasn't Spygate with the Jets? I thought it was with the Jets.
No, they called out that they were doing it, but which Super Bowl did he get caught with the practices was the Rams, right?
I can't remember if it was the Rams or
not. It was Mangini called them out for it.
Yes, that's right. Yes, that's what I was thinking, Jets.
And that's why Mangini is not anywhere near the NFL anymore, because they're like, good job, idiot.
Yeah, right.
Like, you don't say that stuff out loud.
Right.
22, Patriots 49ers, the Jimmy G Bowl. 21 Bills v. Rams. That would be funny, Patriots 49ers. Patriots 49ers, Jimmy G, Belichick, no Brady. That's funny. There's something funny about that.
I do like that. Yeah, I think that's funny.
21 Bills Rams could be the first Super Bowl to break 200 combined points. Funny. Steelers Packers at number 20. Again, that would be old school-y looking. 19 Raiders Bucks rematch of Super Bowl 37. The John Gruden championship over his ex-team, the Raiders.
Okay.
I wonder if that actually happened, would anyone mention John Gruden during the broadcast
no,
at all? Would
not.
They act like he didn't exist?
That'd be a nice little memo that got sent out 2 weeks yeah. before. Don't mention him.
Okay. More likely to be mentioned in a Raiders-Bucks Super Bowl, John Gruden, or tonight's Wizards Magic game mentioning Montrezl Harrell and KCP.
Fight by far. Fight by far.
Think so?
Yeah. 100%.
I want to see if they address it. I wonder if they address it.
Fight by far.
Think they're going to, you think they'll say something about
yes.
it?
Yes.
Okay. 18. Titans, Packers. You'd think the matchup of one seeds would be more compelling than this. It's a funny line. That's a good one.
It's only because the Titans are banged up, though. If the Titans have a half a clip.
Nobody wants them in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Nobody right. wants it. There's nothing flashy about them at all.
There's
nobody
not,
wants them in the
if,
Super Bowl.
If Henry is there, then. That's good
the most
enough
interesting.
For me.
The most interesting person on the Titans is Mike Vrabel.
That's true.
The rest of it is like blah. It's all blah.
I like watching. I like watching Henry just mow down, dude. So.
If he's playing,
no.
Yeah,
of
if he's playing,
if they're in the Super Bowl, he's playing.
I agree. 17 Steelers Cowboys. That's old school. Goes back to the '70s where they played each other in the Super Bowl twice, and then played each other again in the '90s.
I know you have a bunch more to go, but I have a gripe with this. Every single Steelers matchup needs to be pumped down to the last ones.
Right, because they'd be annoying.
It wouldn't be annoying. It's that offense sucks to watch. The defense is great. Big Ben can limp around and can't throw the ball. Like, I'm just saying, I'm not taking it like saying it personally like to the Steelers fans, but like nobody wants to see them advance. Those should all be crammed down at the bottom of the list. They're the most boring team in the playoffs. So,
did you hear Roethlisberger say like, we'll see what happens this weekend. It'll be fun either way.
Yeah,
is the way he described it.
He was pretty much.
He's just like, I know we're gonna lose. He's like, I know we're gonna lose.
Yeah, he was pulling the like, well, everyone thinks we're gonna lose, so we have nothing to lose type attitude. That's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But nobody wants to see the Steelers knock them out. There's no way, no chance.
Let's see. 16 Bengals Bucks. Joe Burrow may look like he just spent 2 hours escaping the Wet Bandits, but he's setting up to be the future of the NFL quarterbacking. How better than to take it away from the GOAT? Of course. Let's see. Titans Cowboys at 15. I don't want to see that.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
Yeah, that's terrible. That
no,
should be last.
No.
Yeah. Bengals. So we haven't even said Cowboys yet. So he likes Cowboys.
Oh God,
as
this guy's list. Burn. Yeah. This is
let's
terrible.
See. Bengals, Packers, 14. Raiders, Cowboys, 13. We already saw that on Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Titans, Bucks at 12. No, thank you. Bengals, Cowboys at 11. That might be a high-scoring game. Oh,
yeah, no,
man, that'd
be
a high-scoring game. Bills, Bucks at 10 would be pretty good. Tom Brady giving Buffalo fans the shakes.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Great.
That's a good pairing.
We talked about that last year, yeah.
Chiefs, Rams, all right, fine.
Sure, I'm down with that.
Pats, Packers, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in that.
Good.
Yeah, I'm good on that. Chiefs, Bucks, again, rematch.
No,
you up for
pass.
The rematch?
No,
I'm not.
Pass.
I'm kind of down on the, you know, actually, that game sucked. I'm actually kind of down on it. It was terrible. I'm kind of down on that rematch. We've already seen it. I don't think Pat Mahomes had nothing to prove to me. Like, this isn't the Georgia Alabama thing where I'm like, show me you can actually beat them. I don't feel that way at all here. I think the Chiefs came in so messed up. They were missing their tackles, and the Buccaneers defense had come around. Like, shocker, they won. Like, I'm not surprised.
That's a lose-lose for all of us in the long run. Either Brady gets yet another ring that adds nothing to his legacy, to be completely honest, or Mahomes wins number two and solidifies himself. But I want the storyline of Mahomes struggling to get ring number two, because everyone's like, how many Super Bowls is he going to win? Is he going to end up beating Brady's ring record? Like, that ain't happening yet, pal. So I don't want that one to happen. I don't want to like the long-term ramifications.
Six on this guy's list is Bills Packers, which is the one I've been saying all along is what I think is going to happen this year. I think it's going to be those two. Five, he's got Pats Cowboys. Says this one's lost a bit of its luster with the departure of Brady, but the battle between the team of the 90s and the team of the 20s and 2010s is always worth a story or two. Oof. I don't know if I want to see that, frankly.
I'm good.
Bills Cowboys would be a rematch of a couple Super Bowls that happened in the 1990s.
And would love it if the Bills won.
I think that's a good game.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good high scoring game. Like a really good high scoring game. I'd be worried that Dallas would win that. Oh,
agreed.
God, I'd be really worried they win that. Let's see. Number three on his list is Chiefs Packers. Yeah, be good.
Yeah, be down
State
with that.
Farm be pumped.
Down with that. Yep.
Two would be Chiefs Cowboys.
Okay.
I think the ratings for that would be outrageous.
Any Cowboys Super Bowl is going to be insane. Yeah.
And number one on his list, he wants to see Patriots Bucks.
Yes. I think that's everybody's fantasy booking. Yes, of course. Does Brady get it done without Bill against Bill and vice versa?
Yeah.
I agree. Great storyline, and for 2 weeks we won't shut up about it. I absolutely agree. That's number one.
Whoop, there it is. Whoop, there it is. All right, let's take a quick break. Let's talk about John Lester retiring next. Bray Boy Says Show, ESPN 630, Sports Capital. Bray Boy Says Show, ESPN 630, presented by Flight by Yingling. Raise the bar with the next generation of light beer. John Lester's going to end up in the Hall of Fame. Had finished out his career about half a season here. Ended up getting traded, unbelievably traded for something after the season he was having to the Cardinals. And then
Bram. That's Lane Thomas, who had a great second half with the Nats. Come on.
And then he, in pure form, went 4-1 for the Cardinals.
Yes,
so
it was
a big game, you know. He played 16 seasons. He won 3 World Series titles in 2 of the toughest places to win the World Series because, well, Boston's streak had already been broken by the time that he won them, but still. And then he went to Chicago and, of course, ended, you know, what was the longest and most, you know, storied curse in probably the history of sports with the Chicago Cubs. So, and he signed there and was one of the first veterans to go there with that purpose to do so. After reading kind of all the things he went through, recovering from cancer, did it with the Red Sox, won a playoff game with the A's after getting traded there, signs a big deal with the Cubs on the come that they could actually have a competitive team, got a couple other people to come along with him. Everything ever said about the guy is like what a teammate this guy is and how everybody, what a professional he is and a hard worker he is, what an incredible, guy he is just in general. Like his numbers will never stack up to some of these other people, but there are very few that had a career like this guy. I mean, like he's had one of the best Major League Baseball careers of anybody I've ever heard of. It's really incredible.
No, I mean, perseverance is the word I would use to describe him. And I think it goes to, I think I saw Jesse Docherty tweet about this earlier today, that even last year, like everyone knows he's on the way out, but there he is, like trying to tinker with his release and his throw, and he does, and all of a sudden he's actually a contributor down the stretch with the Cardinals. Like, that was him in a nutshell last year. Like, terrible first half. Like, all the jokes here in DC are being made about him. He's still traded for something because he's John Lester and still ended up contributing down the stretch. Yeah.
Because when the lights go on, guys like that show up. 100%. That's the thing. When the lights 100%. Go on.
Yeah.
Let's see. 5-time All-Star, ERA in the postseason of 2.51. Yeah. That's with multiple different teams. Yep. Multiple different teams. Yeah. He had that. As for why now, he's not that we didn't see this coming, because I think he was, you know, he said, I'd like to think I'm a halfway decent self-evaluator. I don't want someone else telling me I can't do this anymore. I want to be able to hand my jersey over and say, thank you, it's been fun. And that was the biggest factor.
Yeah. I think he probably was thinking about it when he was here with Washington and knew, hey, I might be able to go help somebody, and he did, and that was it. One more run, and good for him. Good, happy trails to John Lester.
In the postseason, two World Series titles with Boston, 2007-2013, mm-hmm. won a third ring with the Cubs in 2016, helping break the 108-year title drought. Additional playoff appearances in 08, 09, 14, 15, 17, and 18.
Yep, yep. Part of those Cubs teams that basically started making the postseason every year before they blew it up. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. They really blew that team. That team should have won more than it did.
Well, there's a reason, Theo left, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but once he did that, I went, oh, they're not even trying to do this anymore.
Yeah, that's right. There's a reason why he resigned. Yeah. He was like, I'm out. I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah, 100%.
Here he is. Historically, Lester is only one of nine modern left-handers with 200 wins, a 600 win percentage, and a career ERA under four. Six of the other eight are in the Hall of Fame. One, CC Sabathia, isn't eligible yet.
There you go. Yeah. Sounds about right. Yeah.
So sure. He is among the greatest left-handed pitchers of all time.
Right.
Even statistically,
yes.
One of the greatest left-handed pitchers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody said all these great things about him off the field. David Ross, who's the Cubs manager, of course, caught him in Chicago and Boston, too, I think. He said all these great things about him. Jed Hoyer, the then GM, said about him. Him taking a chance on us when he did set the stage for everything. He was clearly only coming here for one reason, and everybody knew that. He signed a $155 million free agent contract with the Cubs, and he said it was not easy to sign with them because he knew what they had been through and he wanted to win. And he called the signing with the Cubs the single biggest decision he's ever made in his professional career. In the early weeks, in April 2015, he had a 6.23 ERA, and they were killing him, I guess, in the media. The next month, his ERA dropped to 1.76, and then the rest is history. They ended up winning a World Series. Second year in Chicago, 19-5, 2.44 ERA, named National League Championship Series co-MVP, pitched three times in the World Series against Cleveland, including a relief appearance in Game 7 on his way to a World Series ring.
Yep.
And that was the World Series with LeBron and Cleveland flexing. That's one of my favorite all-time. Remember that one?
Yes.
Where he was up in the box and Cleveland he flexed off the home run? That was incredible.
Yeah, no, that was a good moment. Good moment on that one.
Yeah. Good for him. Congratulations. That's an incredible career. He'll be in the Hall of Fame soon. All right. You were telling me what? We got Soto's brother? Is that what's going on? We got Juan Soto's brother signed with us?
Yeah. It was kind of something that went off over the weekend. And, you know, baseball news never trumps the NFL and even the NBA in this time of the year. But Elian Soto. It's E-L-I-A-N. We'll call him Eli Soto.
Elian Soto.
Let's go. No,
maybe.
Elian Soto posted a video on his Instagram decked out in Mets gear. And Mets fans and New York Twitter went crazy by saying, not only are we getting Soto's little brother, it means Juan Soto is going to come here because his little brother. So, of course, Mets Twitter.
And Steve Cohen is going to pay him the first $1 billion baseball contract.
Yeah, and basically Mets fans lost their collective minds over the weekend because they're the Mets and they can do whatever they want. No, not so fast, my friend. On Monday, it came out that he was going to sign with the Nationals. And ESPN actually literally like 20 minutes ago released an article with their sources saying the Nationals offer was bigger than the Mets. Plus, Juan Soto being there, of course, is a big sticking point for him to come here. So what happened was he deleted that video off of his Instagram, and it's kind of a handshake agreement that he's going to sign with the Nationals as soon as next January 2023. To break this down, by the way, he's 16 years old. It was the same age Soto was when he signed here. The reason why this is like a handshake agreement is because with the international rules, you can't sign on until you're 17, and that would be next January. Everyone's kind of holding their breath, though, because part of the negotiations in the new CBA is that there's an international draft now, that you can't just go around signing these guys and trying to woo them to get them onto your roster or into your system. Some owners want an international draft, so everyone has a fair shake at this. So that's happening, but most likely everybody is saying that's not going to kick in until after next kind of offseason, and you can still have that agreement because of his age, most likely. There's going to be some grandfathering in. So, yes, he's going to sign on with the Nationals. And I actually would say this, that's a good sign for the Nats if they are, you know, wanting to sign, you know, Juan Soto to a long-term deal. I'm not going to say they don't want to do that, but we've seen that they don't like to sign guys to long-term big-money deals. It's very few and far between. Unless you're a starting pitcher, they don't really do that. I would say, though, they're not going to sign that guy's little brother for no reason whatsoever. He still is a top prospect, but he's not supposed to be like, you know, a can't-miss guy that no matter what he's going to develop, he still has the tools to develop into a top-tier player. But I would say that's a good sign if you want Juan Soto to sign here long-term. So,
yeah. I think the Lerners are in not a funny spot, because it's not like they haven't paid. Like, they've paid people before. They paid Strasburg. They paid Scherzer.
They don't sign position players, though.
I agree.
Period.
I agree. But it's not they don't sign anybody. So, you know, whenever I talk about this, I want to be fair to them because they do spend money on this team. They don't spend all the money everybody wants them to, but they're not cheap. I don't think they're cheap.
Never call them cheap. They don't sign position players, though. Unless your name is Ryan Zimmerman, you're not getting a contract from them.
Well, Jason Wirth got a big one from them as
homegrown.
Right. That's right. All right. So, and they didn't do it with Turner, and they didn't do it with Rendon. Nope. I still think it was smart not to do it with Rendon. And also the timing of him and Strasburg coming up at the same time. Give me a break. There's only so much you can ask of an owner, and they chose the pitcher, and you can yell and scream that was the wrong choice. It's looking right now that neither was the right choice, actually.
Sure.
So we'll see what ends up with Rendon, but whatever. In the case of they're in a pickle here because they hear the criticism and everybody's saying this about them. This guy undoubtedly is a ridiculous player. He is very young. Oh, are they going to get tested here? Let me see. Where are you? Do you think they're going to buckle and give him what he wants? Because I think they are, actually. No, I think they are.
They're not. I'm sorry. Like there's.
I think they're going to make this one exception. I think they're going
to
do it.
If they do, great. I will be ecstatic. Like, I think they have to, honestly, if they want to keep the fan base, you know, around and watching them every summer, whether they win or they lose. I think there's a really loyal sect of the Nationals fan base that will show up and watch them no matter what because they love baseball. That part of the fan base is probably skews way older. If you want some of these younger people to stick around, even people like me in their early 30s to really pay attention, you need a star like Soto. A homegrown star, by the way, who already won a championship for you. Yes, you have to sign him, but I have zero faith that they actually will, is what I'm getting at. I hope they do, I don't have the faith that they will. It hasn't literally happened every time that it's come up, and so I shouldn't have any faith that they will.
In the same way that I feel like Rivera's being pressured to do something at quarterback that he may or may not be totally comfortable with, right? I think the Lerners are being pressured to do something here that they may or may not be totally comfortable with. And in this particular case, he's so young and so good, it's hard to understand how they wouldn't give him the money. So I think they're going to, my gut says, unless Soto doesn't want to be here, and my gut says they're going to do it. That's my gut. And I know that would be counter to everything they've done, but I think the years of accumulation of not doing it and being told over and over, we don't trust you're going to do it, will add up to them in this case doing it. That's what I think.
I'd be pleasantly surprised if they did. My guess here is they're hoping that, and my guess here is that Boris has pretty much let it be known, and Soto must be in lockstep with him, that they're not going to sign anything until he's an actual free agent. My guess here with signing his little brother is the Nats are going to go, please let us know whatever the contract is going to be. We'd like to match it, plus your brother is here. And it's worth noting, Soto debuted when he was 19 years old. Granted, it was weird circumstances and he got called up, right? Like, he wasn't supposed to be called up that early. And luckily for the Nats, he was that good, and that's what got them a World Series. You know, his brother's going to be 17 when he signs on. That'll be next year, 2022. He's a free agent after 2024. If his brother's tracking to play as a 19-20-year-old, it'll be when Soto is going to be a free agent or signing a new deal. So they're going to use that, hopefully, to say, hey, we want to offer you the same money, and you get to play with your brother, and you get to play in the same place you've been playing. I'm going to guess it's a nice little negotiating piece. Not to mention, too, if you're the Learners, you sign some of these international guys for good money, not amazing money, and it ends up panning out for you like Juan Soto. So they're going to hope that it ends up being a good signing either way. But I'm with you. I think they should. I don't have the faith that they actually will.
I think in this case, they're going to do it. I think they can't. It's hard to justify not in this particular case. And with the accumulation of having not done it through the years, I think they're going to be asked to do this. And now that, like, Scherzer's not on their books anymore, Turner's not on their books anymore, I got to tell you, they're going to be running out of excuses as to why they wouldn't sign him.
Well, you say that, though, but they still have to pay Scherzer the second half of his deferred money.
You know what, though? I don't, you're right, but like, that is the way that they structured something that I, as a fan, don't want to hear about.
I
don't want to hear that the team in 2028 is going to suck because you're paying Max Scherzer. That's your fault, man. Like, you want me to pay for tickets to go see your team, put competitive teams out on the field. Don't tell me, well, you had your fun in 2017, you know, like, well, that was 11 years ago, and that's your fault you're still paying this guy that amount of money.
I agree.
I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that.
I 100% agree, but I'm not going to be shocked if it gets brought up somehow. I'm not going to be shocked.
Well, but I don't think that's
report comes out.
I don't think they say that as an excuse. Like, if they say that as an excuse, we'd be like, listen, man, we don't want our team on layaway. Like, what are you talking about, dude? Like, that ain't like that. You structured it that way. Fine. You structured it that way. That wasn't so that you guys would suck in 10 years. Like, come on now. Like, come on.
I will say this. I will say this for their rebuilding purposes. Learner or Mike Rizzo has to be going to them. You know what? Last time around when I got, you know, the reins to this place in 2011, there was this guy, Bryce Harper, who was going to be the centerpiece of everything. And he was. And we got stupid lucky that we got another one of those guys. And I have reins again for another rebuild. We have to keep him around to keep the lineup together. He's going to make everyone better top to bottom. And I hope that he's banging the table for the Learners of saying, if you're not going to sign this guy, I don't know when you're going to sign someone else. And I would also rewind to the moment that they signed Jason Worth. Don't ever forget that. 2010, when they signed Worth, they signed him not because he was a great baseball player, but to sign him to a big deal and say to everyone, we've arrived, we're paying, come play for us, we'd like for you to be a part of what's happening here. And all of a sudden, they've kind of backed off of that. And granted, I'm with you, they have spent in certain places, but they have refused to keep their homegrown talent. And everyone for good reason is worried they're not going to sign Soto. And so I understand why.
I'm all on the skepticism. My gut is telling me they're going to buckle on this one and they're going to give the guy what he wants. That's what I think. But granted, like, it still feels like it's a couple years away. If Boris isn't going to come to the table, then it's going to be a couple years away.
Of course.
And we don't know what we don't know, you know, over the next two years. If that's how they want to play it, like, I'm going to assume the guy's still going to be great. He's going to hit a million home runs and be in MVP conversations, but you don't know that. So, you know, let's see how it plays out then the next couple of years.
I would argue this too, though. Like, not unlike what you've been saying about Terry McLaurin, he's only supposed to make $1 million next year. You put $500 million in front of Juan Soto.
This is what I'm saying. I think you put the pile of money in front of him. You just got to say no to that? Like, I don't care what Boris thinks about it. Like, you're supposed to make this amount of money. We're going to put this number in front of you. You're saying no?
Right.
Like,
right.
Boy, that's a risk. And with McLaurin, he ain't turning down the extension when he gets put in front of him. Playing that sport for $1 million or get a $50 million bonus or whatever it is, of course he'd be a moron to, you know, turn that down. So we're going to get McLaurin done. I'm convinced of that. Football also has different leverage points. It's different than baseball. It really does. And you got to take the physical aspect into it. If you're a professional football player and they put money like that in front of you, you have to seriously think about it. I mean, you got to ask for a trade if you don't want the money.
Right.
Like, you
right.
don't play out for $1 million when someone puts 35 in front of you. Like, not in that sport. You're nuts to take a chance like that.
Here's where it's actually going to really be hung up with the Nationals and the Learners, though. Soto has basically said out loud, and Boris has said out loud, that they want to make sure they're a competitive franchise again. And that's perfectly valid, and I totally get that. So they've got to spend the next year and a half showing that the next set of pieces will be ready to go. Granted, they did a great job for kickstarting a rebuild in a season where they thought they might be able to make one more run at things, they did a great start to that by getting guys like Kyber Ruiz and Josiah Gray, who's going to be on the roster next year. And, you know, hopefully Steven Strasburg is your ace next year. That's the biggest if of all time. Like, yeah. I know how okay. I sound, but like, hopefully he's on. Hopefully he's on the roster. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. It's just, they can't just sign him. He's going to want to sign on if you are competitive again. And good, as a fan, I love to hear that because I don't want them signing Soto and then just deciding, yep, that's it. We're not going to sign anyone else. We're just going to roll with that guy for the next 10 years. It's a terrible feeling if you're a fan. So,
what about awesome middle reliever Patrick Corbin? How do you feel about that here in 2022? How many years does he have left? Two, three?
I think three.
Oy.
Look, just think about Game 7. He won Game 7 for them. That's all I've got to do.
That's true.
As much as I want to kill him every fifth day, the guy pitched his ass off in Game 7 and they got a World Series. At the end of the day, that is literally priceless. I get it. I have to go to that moment right there. By the way, speaking of your Baltimore accent, did you see what's happening at Camden Yards?
Well, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to talk about that next.
All right.
Quick break. We'll do that next. Bray wants to show you at 6:30 Sports Capital. Bray wants to show you at 6:30 Sports Capital. From Shams, Portland Trailblazers star Damian Lillard undergoing surgery for his abdominal injury, sidelined indefinitely.
Woof.
That is woof. Thomas Bryant back, limited minutes. First time for the Wizards tonight as they go back-to-back against Orlando. Beat Oklahoma City last night. Had a fight disclosed to Shams last night as well. And it appears to have started when Montrezl Harrell did not receive a 50-foot pass from KCP at the end of the half
allegedly.
Against the Thunder. Allegedly. I'm going to go with that's not what they were fighting over, but whatever.
Yeah, you never know.
Tell me. You never know. Maybe Dave will text me and tell me what it is. He'll text you. He will text me. Tell him to text me. I don't know what it is.
You're on the air.
Hey-o. Let's see. Orioles. Orioles, hon. The Orioles are moving the wall in left field back as much as 30 feet in an effort to make Oriole Park at Camden Yards a bit easier on pitchers. Spokesman confirmed the team's plans to the AP and shared an email that was sent to fans, which says, for the start of the 2022 season, the distance from home plate to left field will be pushed back as much as 30 feet in varying increments at different points on the wall, and the height will raise approximately 5 feet. By pushing the left wall back, we've created a playing field that's fair to both pitchers and hitters. Stats at home, Baltimore hit 122 home runs at home. They hit 73 on the road. Pitchers allowed 155 home runs at home compared with 103 on the road. The email continues to say, while Oriole Park will remain a hitter's ballpark, it will no longer be an outlier among the parks.
I'm waiting for the second email of saying, sign up now for the new party deck at Camden Yards.
Oh, that's what you think it is? Field. Is that what you think it is?
I think
is that your because I'm still listen. I'm a skeptic too. I always think there's something behind it. I have a different read on it. But go ahead. I want to hear yours. You think it's to make space or to make something new out there?
Like, what's your
take on it?
I think
because there's always a reason for this. It's what it is on its face.
I think they'd be dumb not to try to modernize Camden Yards a touch and do some tables out there in left field. Kind of like do you remember how the Mets at Citi Field is out there in left field? They kind of have a almost like a second deck there where it's more of like an open space. It's tables and a little more, I don't know if it's luxury, but it's more open. It's like literally called the Party City deck or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Camden Yards has gotten a little more of that lately. Like there's a bar out in center field now where you can stand and there are bar stools there. They've gotten a little more of that. I don't think that's the sole reason. I actually agree with them that it probably is for the outlier reasons, but I think you'd be dumb not to take advantage of that. That's what I'm getting at. If you're going to push the wall back or push the wall back, you're going to be able to do some construction in the seats out there. I would say let's play around with how, you taking a game at Camden Yards in the left field. That's all. That's all I'm getting at. You have to tear the seats up regardless.
Want to hear one of my theories on why they're doing this?
Sure.
When they ask agents and free agent pitchers if they want to sign with them, they tell them, hell no, I'm going to get shelled in that ballpark.
Maybe. And that's maybe that's a legitimate gripe.
You're going to give me a one-year deal for I can make same amount for five other teams. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to give up 10 more home runs than I would in any other ballpark. And now my stats are going to suck. And then on the other side of it, I'm not going to get a deal from anybody, or I'm going to get a junk deal on the other side of it.
That makes sense because they're hitting the part of their rebuild where they're going to have to start signing some free agents if they want to compete. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a valid point. Could be a little bit of everything, honestly, yeah. The way it's going. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if it's a little bit of everything.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe, they realize they're not going to have a high price team. And when you don't have a high price team, the other team is going to have routes in your ballpark relatively often when you have a small ballpark, a bandbox. So the bandbox works when you have a really good team like Fenway. Like you have a really, really good team, you can have a bandbox. When you have a really crappy team, you get embarrassed at home all the time. The Orioles don't have a good team, and they're still in the midst of this rebuild, and they're getting embarrassed a lot. Scores can be ugly, and it's part of it's the players, and part of it is they play in a bandbox. I think the place is cool. I don't want to see them mess with it that much. I actually think, though, that I'm going to bet they got some feedback from agents and free agent pitchers who were like, hell no, I ain't signing with you. Not only do I know our record's not going to be very good, but my stats are going to suck, and my stats mean money. So, no. I give up five less home runs by playing for the Mets. I'm going to go pitch for them. And make same amount of money. That's what I'm going to do. If I'm going to play for a losing team, I'm going to go play for the Royals where it's hard to hit home runs. That's what I'm going to do.
They're probably also looking at the analytics that specifically last year, had they moved it back those, 30 feet, that was not going to be 30 runs or something else, that's were going to give in. And not to mention, I say this, Camden Yards is one of the best ballparks in the MLB, but the seats are there are plenty available, and to them, they're probably going, it's fine. We can pull out some seats, and we're not going to have anything affect the bottom line. The season ticket holders that are out there will move to wherever they need to be moved. It's not a big deal. I really don't think it is.
All right, last thing. Aaron Rodgers went on McAfee, didn't show his feet, didn't talk much about COVID, but was asked about the near tie in the Raiders-Chargers game and then linked it to the Washington Giants game. Said this, the idea that they wouldn't have kicked it because it could have been blocked. Look, you play to win the game. Nobody wants to be part of that. Nobody wants to be part of kneeling the S out to take a tie. I'd lose my mind. You know what would make me lose my mind almost as much as that? Third on nine on the -5. Let's go in goal line personnel and run a quarterback sneak. He goes, call that one in, Matt, referring to Matt LaFleur jokingly. He says, and see what happens. That S ain't flying, I can promise you that.
There you go. Yeah.
I told you, if I was Saquon Barkley, I would have been up in Joe Judge's face and been like, you're embarrassing me. This is pitiful. Throw me the ball and see if I can get 5 yards, dummy. Don't take a knee.
Telling you, that was the breaking point. It wasn't It wasn't the presser. It wasn't anything else. It was, why did we just do two quarterback sneaks in a row?
What? So we're not a professional football team anymore? Is that what? Is that what happened this week?
Right.
All right. Music tells me I got to go. Peace out, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow at 3. Brad watch the show. He's at 6:30. Sports Capital.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.